So for our first panel, we have Jaden.
In my opinion, the hardest part of being a teenager today is peer pressure. I say that because so many teens just want to be accepted. Sometimes other people take advantage of that by peer pressuring us to do things we know aren't right. I'm talking about things like cursing, skipping class, bullying others, doing drugs, and smoking. Those kinds of pressures can be really hard to ignore because everybody wants to feel like they belong. But what has helped me the most is trusting God's path for my life. When I focus following Him instead of following the crowd, He gives me strength to make the right choices when even they're not the popular ones.
Thank you, Jaden. Scarlett, what do adults sometimes misunderstand about teens?
I think a lot of the time adults don't really listen. Instead, they just tell us to suck it up because they've been through bigger problems. But the truth is, no person's struggles or trauma are more important than someone else's. Every situation affects people differently, and even if it doesn't seem like a big deal to someone else, it can still have a huge impact on that person's life. No matter our background, age, race, gender, or religion, we're all humans, and our emotions are real and valid. So if you really want us to become stronger, don't just tell us to be stronger. Show us how.
Thank you, Scarlett. Our last question is for Weston. Weston, what helps you stay strong?
I think one of the things that helps teens stay strong is having people we can go to during hard times instead of trying to handle everything on our own. Another thing that really helps is having leaders, parents, and family members who will listen without immediately judging us. Sometimes we don't need someone to fix everything. We just need someone who will listen and care. But more than anything, what helps me stay strong is having faith in God. No matter what I'm going through, I know He's always with me, and I can trust Him to give me the strength to keep on going.
Thank you. Thank you, Weston. First, I love how Weston and both Jaden, they answered their questions, but then at the end, they both refocused it back on God, right? They ended it with, but God is always there, right? He's listening to us. And you guys have to, as youth, remember that no matter what you're going through, God will always be there for you. Let's give it up for our first panel, please. The world today tells our kids something different. It tells them they can be what they want, they can do what they want. It tells them to follow their hearts, to find their own truths. But God has something better for us. And sometimes we are our own biggest critics. So to continue the conversation of pressures to be perfect, I would like to invite Olivia.
Hello, good morning, everyone. Have you ever felt like no matter what you do, you're never enough? That you aren't pretty enough, smart enough, athletic enough, popular enough, or successful enough? Social media tells us we need to have everything figured out. It tells us we need to look a certain way, act a certain way, and have our whole lives planned out. But God never asked us to be perfect. He asks us to come to Him just as we are and to belong completely to Him. Galatians 1:10 says, "Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God?" Why do teenagers feel like they have to have the approval of their friends and the world? Today we feel pressure from everywhere. Our friends, our families, school, social media, and sometimes even ourselves. But if we spend our lives seeking the approval of people, we'll never truly be satisfied or find lasting peace. The only approval that truly matters is God's. Psalms 139:14 says, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Teenagers are often told that they're not enough, that they're behind, their mistakes, or they're never measure up. But the truth is, God didn't make us by accident. He created each one of us with a purpose and a plan. We are not mistakes. We were created by a perfect Father who makes no mistakes. God has a purpose for every life, including yours. We don't have to become what social media or the world says we should, because our worth isn't found in their approval. Our worth is found in the God who created us, loves us, and calls us his own.
Thank you, Olivia. Thank you to all of you. I think we can all agree that we want our kids to do well in life. We want them to succeed, make wise choices, and become the people God has created them to be. But today our focus simply isn't on their achievements and what they're doing. Our focus is on what God is doing in their lives. As you listen to these teens this morning, I encourage you to remember what it was like to be a teenager. The pressures they face today are real, and they often look very different from the pressures many of us experienced growing up. When you hear our students share, I pray you don't just hear their stories, but that you see God's faithfulness woven throughout them. Listen for the ways he has been working, growing their faith, and drawing them closer to himself. Our first testimony comes from Ellie. As she shares honestly about what God has done in her life, I encourage you to listen with open hearts and be reminded that God is still in work in the lives of this next generation. Please welcome Ellie.
Good morning. As a child, I had grown up in a Christian setting. When it came to my family, my mother's side had their fair share of Christians, while my father's side were all pretty much Christians, which isn't hard to guess considering my father and his sibling's father was a pastor. So when it came to family, I didn't find it hard to find people who said they had faith. And my parents were people of the church who always made it their mission to serve the Lord in any way they could, which meant little old me was usually being swarmed by all in church folks, and especially by the youth. I still have some memories from this point of my life, memories of my family and of the all-in-church folk, though most of them are foggy, but they are still there, and I treasure all of them. All of these people from my memories each have great testimonies, ones I wish I could tell you, so you can know how wonderful and strong each of them are. But today, I'm here to talk a little bit about a testimony that has only been told once, and before that, has only been told in very small pieces. My testimony. As a child, I would have told you my life was perfect. How could it not be? Everything was good and everyone was happy. Or so I thought. As I grew older, I realized that that was a huge lie. There were subtle hints in my life that I didn't realize at the time were little hints that showed how terribly imperfect things actually were in my life and in the people around me's lives. Growing up, I really fell in love with acting. It wasn't until later that I realized I would have to start using acting in my everyday life. See, towards the end of my tween years, some things happened. I won't go into detail, but there are some hard things that went down in my family that carried on for many years and still has its certain effects to this day. I never talked about what happened. I rarely even thought about it, mainly because I didn't think I could. I grew up being told that people don't need to know my business, and if they did, they would have the power to be able to use it against me and eventually lead to ruining my life. So, I never talked about how I was feeling or what had been going on in my everyday life to anybody. Not to my so-called friends, mentors, therapists, and especially not to my family. Eventually, these events affected me in many ways, to a point in my life where I even stopped believing in God. I didn't understand why God, who was so loving and powerful, would let these things happen to one of his children. I tried every day to be the best version of myself. Was it not good enough? Was I not trying hard enough? Or was it that it had nothing to do with how a creator felt about me? What if this creator was just made up? So, I stopped my walk with God and instead continued with my own walk with myself. Little did I know, I actually wasn't done with God. And instead, I wasn't done with my walk with God, because even when I gave up on him, he hadn't given up on me. He had a bigger plan for my life. So a year had passed, a year filled with silent battles and silent tears passed without the Lord next to me. When my mother had told me one day that she wanted to start attending church again, we went along and tried different churches, but none of them felt right. There was always something missing. Then one day, my friend Anna invited me to her church, where her father was the pastor. So I started to attend on Sundays, and after a few months, I started to attend the church's youth group. I'll be honest, while attending the group, I had thought of leaving and not coming back many times. But there was always something that had me stay. I didn't know what it was, but I just couldn't bring myself to leave. Through the years, I became closer to the people in the group. I became comfortable with them, and now I've come to be able to feel okay with sharing things with them without feeling guilty. The best part of it all is that the people in this group have all helped me refine my faith in God. When I first started coming, it was so I could start hanging out with my friends more. Now, I still do like being with my friends, but now I come so I can be able to be closer with God. And during my time with this group, I've been able to experience so many new opportunities. And through these opportunities, I've been able to get closer with the Lord. But even with the Lord in my life, things aren't still perfect. But things aren't supposed to be perfect. They can't be. I had to learn that I don't need things to be perfect to be happy or to make others happy. I just need to fully trust God, because he knows the right life for me, even if there's aspects in my life that aren't going to be perfect. But that's okay, because it's in God's plan.
Thank you, Ellie. We all have struggles. Us carry some pretty heavy stuff. It's stories like this that remind us that we are not alone when we go through these things. God is there through the midst of it, even when it feels like he's not. But the truth is, our struggles are often carried silently, in fear of judgment, laughter, or worse, the fear of them being true. Anxiety and stress play a part in many of our lives. And yes, our youth have them too. So to continue the topic of anxiety and stress and heavy expectations of our youth, I'd like to welcome Jaylene to the stage.
Good morning. My name is Jaylene. This morning I'll be speaking to you guys about something that we often tend not to talk about. But first, can we be honest for a second? A lot of teenagers, including myself and adults, struggle with anxiety without anyone noticing it. With school, sports, family issues, mental health struggles, we often tend to take upon ourselves. Trying to figure out the future without trying to disappoint anyone who looks upon us. Trying to fit in because the world is telling us we have to meet certain standards by the way we dress, look, act, and seem to be. Leaving us afraid to be who God has truly created us to be. For what? To be considered normal? There are times when adults say, you don't have stress, you're too young, when they don't even know what stress looks like or seems to be. But for many teens, life already feels hard enough to handle, at least alone. Which is why God gives us countless reminders in His Word, starting with Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. This verse does not mean we as Christians will never feel anxiety. It does not mean we will never struggle. It means we never have to carry the weight of the world alone. God never once said, figure it out yourself, is what we often tend to think about. But instead, He says, bring it to me. Christ wants our hearts, our willingness to be open with Him. Imagine carrying a backpack. At first, one thing feels manageable. But then there's homework, sports, pressure with friends, family stress, then comparison. And most of all, fear of failing, plus so much more. After a while, we're carrying more than anyone realizes, making it hard for us to handle. But 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. God does not just tolerate our struggles, He truly cares. God does not put us through trials He knows we cannot face. However, we as Christ followers need to be reliant on Him and on Him only. As most of us know, it never turns out the way that we want it to be, right? But that's because His way will always, always be better. Thank you.
Thank you, Jaylene. You know, one of the most beautiful truths of the gospel is that we don't have to pretend we're okay all the time. Following Jesus doesn't mean we never struggle. It means we bring our struggles to Him, trusting that He is our strength in every season. No matter our age, we all wrestle with questions about who we are and where we belong. That's why it's so important that our identity is rooted in Christ rather than the opinions of the world. Our next topic is Identity in a Confusing World. Please welcome Haley as she shares what God's Word teaches us about finding our identity in Him.
Good morning. One of the biggest struggles we face as teenagers today is figuring out our identity. Who am I? Do I matter? Am I enough? Where do I belong? The world constantly tells us to define ourselves by how many followers we have, or how many likes that we get, or what you look like, or what your relationships are like, or how popular you are, or your achievements. And if I'm honest, trying to keep up with all of that is exhausting. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created mankind in His own image." That means you were created by God on purpose with value. You are not random, you are not forgotten, and you are not an accident. The world says, find your worth in what other people think. Jesus says, find your worth in who I say you are. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Think about that for a second. Masterpiece. Not a mistake, not a failure, not a disappointment, a masterpiece. Raise your hand if you've ever struggled with insecurity. You're not alone. Teenagers struggle with it, but so do adults. The enemy wants all of us to believe lies, like we're not enough, nobody cares, we'll never measure up. But God tells us the truth. You are loved, you are chosen, you are seen, and you belong. And to all the parents, grandparents, and church family here today, Your words matter more than you probably realize. One encouraging sentence can stay in someone's heart for years. Never underestimate the impact your words can have on a young person's life. Thank you.
Thank you, Haley. Knowing who we are in Christ isn't just something we read about in Scripture. It's something we learn to live out each day. While that truth is simple to understand, living out loud can be difficult in the world that's constantly telling us to find our identity somewhere else. One of the beautiful things about following Jesus is that he continues to shape us, teach us, and remind us whose we are. Now, we'd like to give you a glimpse of what that journey has looked like in Haley's own life. As she shares her testimony, I encourage you to listen for God's faithfulness and the ways he has been at work in her heart. Please welcome Haley once again.
If I'm being honest, there was a season where I felt really lost. I struggled with knowing who I was and where I belonged. I didn't grow up in the church and knew nothing about religion at first. But lucky for me, I knew a few people that attended church here. One day, in God's timing, me and my family got invited to attend a Christmas Eve service here. That Christmas Eve service of 2023 changed my life forever. I had always felt lost and as if I didn't have a purpose in life. But as 13-year-old me was sitting in that sanctuary, for once I felt like I had belonged. That maybe I did have a purpose, but through a higher power, and that was God. He placed me where he wanted me to serve and gave me a voice to spread his word. Before I felt like I had belonged, I struggled in middle school and in my everyday life, even though I had nothing that hard to deal with. God brought me to a youth group that made me feel like family. I never had many friends, and personally, that was one of the hardest things to bear. As I started attending Wednesday nights with youth, everything changed. It had become my happy place, my way of escaping the world and everything going on around me. When I was here, that was the only time I had ever felt peace. I was so grateful for how my life had changed that I started serving God in every way that I could. Now I see him in everything and feel as if I owe him my own life. However, the last 6 months, I realized the Jesus high doesn't last forever, even though I wish it did because it was the happiest I had ever felt in my life. Halfway through my sophomore year of high school, I felt like everything was falling apart. I started giving up in school. I barely had friends. My boyfriend moved away. I felt left out of everything. It felt like all my progress and my faith had been lost. And most of all, I felt like I didn't belong where I was at all times again. Although I still am bearing all that change, I choose to trust God's plan, even through the hard seasons. I still show up to youth every Wednesday night and every Sunday morning. I still don't let everything get me down, so I started volunteering in crisis every Tuesday and Thursday. I still try to help in every other way that I can, whether that be helping the memorial team, or coming to make coffee for my fellow brothers and sisters, or praying for the kids in the congregation. Because I still have that hope that God can make me bright and happy and make me feel like I belong again. Because somewhere along the way, God reminded me that my identity is not in what people think. It is in him. I've learned that following Jesus does not mean life gets easy, but it does mean I never walk through it alone. I just want to say, if you want to help a teenager, just be there for them. Every Sunday when I see all of your happy faces and when I feel the presence of God flowing through you all, my hurt goes away. So as much as we help you guys, just know that you help us as well. You all are my reason to keep going because it was one of you who brought me here. And now I put all this work into myself so I can be just like you guys, one of his disciples. So that maybe one day I can help save a life like somebody did for me.
Thank you, Haley. Following Jesus does not always mean fitting in. Sometimes it means standing out. We have to remember that our youth are still kids, and they can choose to be anywhere they want. Most of them are at the age of accountability. They can choose to stay home, to be with friends, wandering the Target parking lot. I know you see them. They could be anywhere. They have choices. But do you know where they are? Because I do. Every Wednesday night, they're back there at tables having dinner with us and doing a Bible study. Every Sunday, they show up for second service, here for worship, and they collect offering. They choose to be here. This is a choice they've made. We have to remember that this is a testament to their faith, because some of these kids, they're going through it. We have to remember that they are not dealing with the same things that you and I had to deal with. They are dealing with things much worse. Social media is a big one of them. Online presence, it's a big one. But still, they show up, and to me, they stand out. Their faith is beautiful. Our next speaker would like to continue the topic of standing out instead of fitting in. Please welcome Mia.
Good morning, church family. Being a Christian teen today isn't always easy. Following Jesus can make you feel different at school, different online, and sometimes even different in your friend groups. Every day we're faced with pressures to fit in, pressure to compromise, pressure to laugh at things we know aren't right, stay silent about our faith, or go along with the crowd because it's easier. But Daniel gave us a different example. In Daniel 1, verse 8, says, "But Daniel resolved to not defile himself. Daniel chose obedience over popularity. Even when everyone around him was going in a different direction, he chose to stand firm in his faith." That takes courage. Standing out for Christ doesn't always mean doing something big. Sometimes it means walking away from gossip, choosing honesty over cheating, showing kindness, standing up for someone who's left out, or saying no when everybody else is making bad choices. Following Jesus won't always make you popular, but it will make you stronger. Matthew's 5 verses 14 through 16 says, "You are the light of the world. Jesus did not tell us to blend into the darkness. He called us the light. Light stands out. Light helps people see. Light brings hope. When we choose to follow Jesus, our lives can point others to him. It isn't always easy to stand out. But we never stand out. We never stand alone because God is with us for every step of the way."
Thank you, Mia. Mia's last statement said, "Our youth need mentors, examples, and people who walk beside them." Our youth don't need people, parents, grandparents, leaders. They don't need us telling them they're doing it wrong. They need a listening ear. I am very proud to say that as a youth group, we have been spending time with adult Sunday school. Is anyone from adult Sunday school here? Steph, there they are. Yes, clap for them. A round of applause, please, for adult Sunday school. We've been spending time with them as a youth group. They were in our youth room one Sunday, just doing like a get-to-know-you kind of thing. We hosted a luncheon for them, which was beautiful. It was 3 hours, 4 hours, and it went so good. Our kids were so excited. Adult Sunday school was like, "When are we doing it again?" Our kids were like, "When are we doing it again?" So it's always good when the kids want to participate willingly. But I'm proud to say that adult Sunday The top or the bottom? Oh, there you go. I'm proud to say that Adult Sunday School, they have become our youth group honorary grandparents. I know. We love them. They love the kids. It's a great thing. So part of Shannon's vision for youth ministry was to bridge generational gaps. And she's doing that. We're doing that. And it's so beautiful to see these relationships that the kids have with Adult Sunday School. Just, you know, at one point, I think Savannah and was it Margaret? They traded numbers. It was so cute. I know. But I just want to thank Adult Sunday School. Thank you. Thank you for loving our kids. And I say our kids' parents because they feel like mine and Shannon's kids. Thank you for loving our kids. Thank you for supporting them and being there with them. And thank you for showing them how to love like Jesus. All right. Now it's time to sit with our next panel. Our next panel, we have Ellis, Noah, Ellie, Savannah, and Weston. All right, so, Alice, what is the hardest part about following Jesus today as a teenager?
I'd say the biggest pressure is wanting to fit in while also wanting to follow God. We see so many things in this world that look good and seem attractive. It's kind of like a baby reaching for a new shiny toy. They don't know if it's actually good for them. They just know it looks exciting. Sometimes the things the world offers can seem really appealing, but they don't always lead us where we want to go. What looks good at first can leave us feeling empty. But God is different. He always gives us what is good. Even when his way isn't the easiest, he never leads us to despair or away from his love. Instead, he always leads us toward his truth, his peace, and his light.
Thank you, Ellis. Our next question is for Noah. Noah, in your own opinion, what pressures do teens feel the most?
I'd personally say comparison. Imagine you're a starting out artist and your art is always just being mocked and compared to another better artist. Soon after years, you perfect your style and you're loved for it, but there's still that lingering voice that tells you one thing. The other one would have done it better. But there's still one man encouraging you, and who keeps you going, Jesus.
Oh. Ellie, what do teens need most from adults today?
Well, as teens, what we need most from the older generation is for you to really be there for us. We want you to understand us, support us, and help guide us through life. It's one thing to say you love us, but it's another to truly listen without brushing off our feelings. We need adults who will teach us instead of expecting us to already know everything, and who will lead by example. When you take the time to listen, encourage us, and walk through life with us, it means more than you probably realize.
Thank you, Ellie. So our next question is for Savannah. Savannah, what helps you stay strong in your faith?
My parents help me stay strong in my faith because they lead by example. My dad goes to men's group, and my mom helps out in children's. We like to read our Bible together and pray every night. Another thing that encourages me is youth group. The friends I've made and the love they have for not only me, but Jesus. We pray for each other, and our Wednesday dinners are always something to look forward to. Also, my youth leaders, Ms. Shannon and Ms. Alyssa, for always believing in me and encouraging me to serve.
Thank you, Savannah. Weston, what would you want adults in church to know?
What I would want you all to know that is that something as simple as being heard, really heard, and understand can make all the difference. It means so much when you take the time to learn our names, ask us how we are doing, get to know us, and pray with us. Those small moments matter more than you probably realize. I want you to know that we're not just kids or distractions. We're part of the church family. We're disciples just like you. We struggle just like you, and we're trying to follow Jesus just like you. We need you to walk alongside us, encourage us, and show us what it looks like to live out our faith every day.
Thank you to our panel. Church, teenagers today, they're navigating a lot. But this is not just a message about how hard their lives are. This is a message about hope, because Jesus meets us right where we are. So for our closing message, I'd like to invite up Savannah.
Hi, good morning. The truth is, the world is loud. Every day we're told, be more, do more, look better, try harder, fit in. It's easy to get caught up in all of that, but Jesus tells us something different. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus isn't asking us to have everything figured out. He is just asking us to come to him. Romans 12:2 reminds us, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Following Jesus is a daily choice. We won't be perfect overnight, but every prayer, every time we choose what's right, every step we take toward him helps us grow. To my fellow students, do not be afraid to live for Jesus. We do not have to blend in just because everyone else is. God can use us right where we are. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example. We're not too young to make a difference. We are not too young to lead, and we are definitely not too young for God to use.
Thank you, Savannah. Before we close, I want to thank each of our students. And I also would like to thank each of our parents. Thank you for sharing your children with us. They're amazing. I love them. We all have an amazing relationship, and you guys are doing awesome. Thank you for the courage to stand before your church family, guys. To open God's word and to share what he has been doing in your lives. We are grateful for each one of you. And church family, I hope today has reminded us that the next generation isn't just the future of the church. They are an important part of the church today. God is already at work in their lives, growing their faith and calling them to make an impact for his kingdom. Our responsibility isn't simply to cheer them on from a distance. Scripture calls us to encourage them, disciple them, pray for them, and walk alongside them as they follow Christ. They don't need perfection from us or from themselves. They need a church family that faithfully points them to Jesus. Never underestimate what God can do through a young person whose heart is surrendered to him. Throughout Scripture, God used young people to accomplish his purpose, and he's still doing so today. If you are a student entering 5th through 12th grade, we'd like to invite you to come forward at this time. And you know me and my challenges, guys. I have a challenge for you. So as a church family, as they come forward, I'd like to leave you with this one challenge. Don't just pray for our students, pray with our students. When you see them before or after church, or whenever God places them on your heart, take a moment to stop and pray with them. Ask them how you can pray for them. Encourage them. Remind them that they are loved. Remind them that they are valued and that they have a church family walking alongside them. Let's be a church that intentionally invests in the next generation, not just by watching from the sidelines, but by building relationships, speaking truth, offering encouragement, and faithfully pointing our students to Christ. The impact of a simple prayer or a few words of encouragement may be greater than you'll ever know. Thank you for joining us this morning and for partnering with us in raising up the next generation to know, love, and follow Jesus. May we continue to be that church that faithfully invests in the young people for the glory of God. At this time, I'd like to invite Promise to come forward and lead us in our closing prayer over our youth.
Good morning. Please bow your heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for bringing all of us together and giving us the opportunity to share what you've been teaching us. God, you know the pressures we face, the fears we don't always talk about, and the struggles we try to hide. Thank you for loving us anyway, and always being there, even when we feel alone. Help us remember that our identity is found in you, not in what other people think about us. Give us the courage to stand up for what is right, even when it's hard. Give us peace in anxious moments, wisdom when we're having to make tough decisions, and strength to keep following you every day. Please protect us, guide us, and use our lives to be the light for wherever we go. Help us show your love at school, at home, online, and everywhere else in between. And Lord, thank you for this church family. Help us keep building relationships with one another. Help the adults in our church continue to encourage us, pray with us, and walk alongside us as we grow in our faith. Help us as students encourage them too, because we're all part of your family. May everything that was said and done today point people to you and bring you glory. We love you, Lord, and we are thankful for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.